This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, I'm literally Mark Dolan, and this is Mark Dolan Eats the News, brought to you on FUBAR Radio, the UK's only online, ad-free, censorship-free radio platform. It's also the biggest online radio station in the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom, will that be part of the EU going forward? OMG, there's now a lead, a 7-point lead for the Brexit campaign. I'm scared. Now, the Remain campaign are also scared. It's the first time in the campaign that they have been behind in the polls, and they are throwing everything at it. Today's latest fact from Project Fear is as follows. If we leave the EU, a new album from Adele, quote-unquote, unlikely. Now, if the Remain campaign are having a tricky week, it can't be as bad as Johnny Depp's. A court in Los Angeles has ordered him to stay 100 yards away from the next Pirates of the Caribbean script. Meanwhile, in music news, Gary Barlow has been spotted busking in a Bristol shopping centre. Great publicity, and of course, the money's cash in hand. And I got a little personal one here. I've been travelling. I did some shows in Norway, which is a lovely country which has its own supply of energy and a welfare state. So, you know, that was quite an experience. That was something to witness. And I got back to Terminal 2 at Heathrow, which is apparently the Queen's Terminal. And I'm desperately thirsty because I've had a long trip. And so I'm like, I need some water. And I go to WH Smith. And you can only buy water if you get a Daily Telegraph, which is a right-wing tome. And so it was a hot day. I was desperate. So I did it. And I had the water. And afterwards, it was a weird feeling because I feel refreshed. But then the Jews do create a lot of problems in our world, don't they? Immigrants are fine, but just a bit smelly. To help me devour the week's big stories are two artisans of the comedic field. Two purveyors of laughter. They basically are sort of mental prostitutes who give you a sort of comedic intimate tickle on a nightly basis. Intimate tickle, there you go. Tamma Broadbent is here. It's lovely to welcome you to the show where we're going to talk about the news for 1 hour.
It's lovely to be back, Mark. Thanks for having me back again.
I also have the entertainer and renaissance man that is Rory O'Hanlon.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Listen, really, really great. Rory's vibe on the radio is off mic. That's how he likes to do it. We actually...
Hello?
There you go. You know what it is? Yeah. I don't want to dilute those dulcet Irish tones of yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's although I quite like the idea that you're off mic. It's just like, oh, that's what he does. That's his thing.
Yeah.
You're how are you?
I'm very underground.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
it's
want to
a bit
conform.
Countercultural. Yeah. There was a very, very clever idea or concept in a mid-90s Woody Allen film. The film was unforgivably terrible, and I can't even remember the title, and I'm like the biggest Woody Allen fan ever. But it was a character played by Robin Williams, and the idea was that his character was just out of focus.
For the whole film?
Yeah, and he doesn't feature like all the time, but every so often he'll come into a scene. He's like, I'm still out of focus, I don't know why. And the people around him go, well, it's because you don't believe in yourself, or you know, they're sort of like trying to have these philosophical discussions as to why he's out of focus. Brilliant idea.
Yeah?
Clever.
Was it good?
It was, but the film, not so much.
Yeah.
It might have been Celebrity, but anyhow. So where we are is that we've had a big week. I hope you guys have had a big week too.
Yeah, great.
Where do you stand on my Daily Telegraph Buxton Water dilemma? Are you familiar with this? Because WH Smith is a great British retailer.
Mm.
But they've got a couple of really strange quirks which are unique to them. One is making you buy the Telegraph if you're thirsty.
Mm.
The other one is the... pushing, almost like a drug dealer, of chocolate treats at the till.
Yeah, and even if you don't want to buy the paper, they still make you buy it. And you're going, I don't even want the paper.
No.
But you'll save 10p. You just go away. I don't care. I'm thirsty.
I think if it wasn't for this sort of particular sort of sales technique, the UK would be a much more open-minded and tolerant country.
Well, they also, they don't want to do it. Like the people on the stalls, you see them be like, you know, do you want the chocolate bar? And you're like, I know that you have to ask and it's not your fault, but no, I don't want it. And they're like, what about this chocolate bar? Like, so it's, I feel like they're being forced. It's almost like, it's like modern slavery in a way.
No, it is, it is, it is. When they offer you that massive, supersized arrow, they're dead behind the eyes, aren't they?
Yeah, I presume there's like the annual sales meeting, which, you know, where the guy comes in, he's been sent in from the head office, and they're all sitting there all doom and gloom, and he's going, okay, guys, with all these words like, you know, like, yeah, going forward, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, blue sky
forward,
thinking.
Yeah. And they're all going, who is this bellend? And like, he tells them what to do. We need to do this, guys, going forward. There will be bonuses involved and all this. And everyone's going, okay, and then just they leave.
You're right. And one of the ideas is next time we get together, shall we have bean bags?
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Nothing good was ever created before bean bags.
That's GR8.
This is great. We're going to come to that. Hold fire on the GR8. What I wanted to say, just in relation to how retailers work in our lives, I think the overall arch of the problem is this. It's retailers offering you stuff that you know full well is available, and you're able yourself to access it without their suggestions. So you go to Costa is the worst. It's, by the way, another great British retailer. Mm. But they, thanks very much. But they've got this thing where, and also Nero do it as well, where you say, please may I have a coffee? I'm a 42-year-old British man. I've got a real sense of where I'd like my day to go today. Mm-hmm. And part of that is a coffee. And I've given this some thought. I'm not a stupid person. I've got an actual degree in politics and economics from the University of Edinburgh. So I've worked out that a coffee is the sum total of what I'd like, because that's why I've asked you. And then they say, would you like something to eat with that?
Yeah, as if you've forgotten.
Yeah, and I'm going to go, I wondered where that raging hunger was coming from. Thank you for alerting me to the workings of my own stomach lining. Mm. But we've got a culture of being offered stuff, haven't we?
Yeah. I keep going into, I go into Sainsbury's and Tesco's, whatever.
Because you know how to live. Because things are actually working out in the comedy world now. I remember when you were little in Aldi.
But
You've changed.
Every time I go in...
I saw you in the Selfridges food hall recently, buying hummus.
Oh, that's when you know you've arrived.
I'm like, O'Hanlon is just not... This is, what kind of monster have you become?
No, any time I go into one of these sort of establishments and I'm buying something light, they'll always go to me, do you want a bag? And I always go, no, I'm cool. But... they get it the wrong way. They think, oh no, I'm too cool to carry a bag. But I just mean, no, I don't want the bag.
That's right. And one of the reasons why, and there's a backstory to this, Tamar Baldwin, which is that in Ireland, the introduction of the carrier bag tax happened a long time ago.
Way before ours.
Yeah, so you guys are streets ahead eco-wise.
My mother's got 10 bags for life. And they're worth more to her than
does she have anything
children.
Else? Does she have a roof over her head or
she
anything?
She doesn't. She's big into bags for life.
She's got the bags.
Yeah. But they all, everyone just...
Is she given the bags in her will, should in the unfortunate
she's
event of her passing?
She's taking them with her in case she comes back. She's very religious.
It's dangerous though, isn't it? Like I think the only way to be safe in a supermarket is to not go there when you're hungry.
Oh.
Because that's you've got to know what you want, and you've got to be like a get in, get out kind of thing. Because I've spent so much time just kind of wandering around, and I'll come home with like 4 mature cheddars because they're 2 for £3. And
you're the only person that could make the purchasing of mature cheddars sound like a bit naughty.
Yeah.
There was a look of total guilt in your face.
The vicar hates it.
I'm terrible because I don't know where you stand on. I'm very, you know, there's that legal grey area of whether or not you can eat something before you've paid for it in the supermarket.
Oh yeah, I eat it and don't pay for it. It's a lot easier, man.
That's super grey.
I can't. I don't have your courage, so I have to stay within the boundaries of. I have to go like, you know, pre till area before with the eating. You know, if I cross the line, I feel like it's shoplifting.
The only thing I've done that with is pepperami sticks. Like, it's the only item of food that I cannot wait to get to a till before I eat. So, constantly, I am bringing pepperoni stick wrappers and being like, I've eaten them.
Now, people always think that comedians are, like, really compelling.
It's rock and roll, man.
Compelling, interesting characters. Tears of the Clown.
This is the everyday existence of
your
a
Your idea of a high-octane experience is to go to a flagship Morrison's and have some mini cheddars, whatever the hell they are. Is it mini cheddars?
No, blocks of cheddar. blocks of mature cheddar. I mean, they are also really yummy, though, mini cheddars. Yeah. I haven't had mini cheddar since I was 10.
All right.
Playing pool in pubs. Anyway.
This conversation is insulting to me because I'm lactose intolerant. So you're just...
He's finding it offensive.
It's like someone in a wheelchair and you're like constantly talking about how you go jogging all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I feel
That's
bad.
How it feels
I do
to me.
Feel bad.
You have to be a Waitrose person anyway, are you?
No, I live in a warehouse, Rory. I told you. I live in an abandoned building.
Now, listen, this is the other thing. Tamar Broadbent, celebrated comedian, lives in a warehouse. This came up in the green room beforehand. We always have a small glass of Prosecco before we come on air and mini cheddars. Mini cheeses? What are
mini,
they?
I mean, blocks of mature cheddar.
And it actually says that on the packaging. Blocks of mature cheddar. I'm like, guys, let's talk about the branding here, shall we? The word block. Do you want to put anything in your mouth which is a block?
That was a beanbag choice, wasn't it?
It was a bit. But we chatted before the show and you said that you live in a warehouse. You are living in a Scooby-Doo cartoon. Is there an evil janitor?
Do you know what?
who dresses up?
I just wasn't a fan, so it will be slightly lost on me. It's more like...
Did you not watch Scooby-Doo?
No, I didn't. I was more of a Budgie the Helicopter kind of time.
Well, it's the generation. I think you existed. We had Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
And then we had Scrappy-Doo. When Scrappy-Doo, the arrival thereof, was the biggest strategic error in the history of animated entertainment.
Mm. Oh, the tiny one, yeah.
Yeah, because what happened is Scooby-Doo was just this urbane... slightly sort of dopey but warm-hearted dog, and then you had Shaggy, who was his marijuana addicted owner.
I live with lots of people who
in
look
fact,
like that. Yeah.
In the biopic, Rory O'Hanlon.
No.
I mean, we'd have to do work. Don't get me
you'd
wrong.
You'd have to do a lot of work.
You'd have to give up the small blocks of cheddar.
Yeah,
because he was a bit of a stick
inside. Hello, man. He makes you look chubby.
You know what I mean? And so they lived together, and it was a brilliant formula. You had a slightly overweight teenage girl with blue glasses. Thelma, who had like these Johnny Depp blue tint within the glasses for no apparent reason.
The other girl was gorgeous though, wasn't she?
She was Daphne, and she's what got us all through puberty, really.
She was a cracker, man.
I remember this from when they made a version with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they made real people.
Yeah.
That's one I've seen.
And then there was the guy who was also the male Adonis, but I think probably gay, looking back on it. Was he called Ken?
No.
Do you not remember the blonde haired guy? Or Mike? Was he not called Mike?
I can't know.
We could do with your help on this. Did you ever watch Scooby-Doo? Guys, did you watch Scooby-Doo? Can you remember the name of the blonde haired guy? Because we've got Thelma, Daphne, Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. So we've got an elite crack team of broadcast journalists on the other side of the glass who put this all together and also script this.
Yeah.
And we'll get them on the case. But so the problem you've got is that, so that was Scooby-Doo, which was brilliant and a very popular, nice length. They were like 25 minutes long. So plus ad break, it's half an hour of telly.
That's perfect.
It's a lot.
The good looking blonde guy, thank you, Jacob, was called Fred.
Fred.
Of course he was.
All right. Check out Fred. He could be quite alluring, I would say. Mm. But anyhow, so that worked very well. And what happened is every episode, it was the same storyline. Which is that they go to some disused circus place or a fairground, and there's a nasty ghost.
And would have got away with it if it wasn't
for those pesky kids. And it turns out he is, in fact, it was the janitor all along.
No.
So that was every week.
So the confusion, I suppose, is the relation to the living. Because don't they live in a caravan? Doesn't Shaggy live in a caravan?
I don't think they live in it.
Or is it the special van?
Yeah, they drive around the van, but I don't think they live in it.
No, they don't. They don't. They might have like catnaps in there. They might go in and sort of chill, like in it for the afternoon.
In the van.
But what they'll do is they'll pitch up at a disused fairground, and that's their accommodation for the evening.
Oh no! Sort of windy, trouble brewing.
Yeah. So what happened is that was a hit franchise, and then the Americans disobeyed the golden rule, which is to not break it if it ain't fixed. They did fix it with the arrival of a smaller character called Scrappy-Doo, who was very, very vocal and jumped around and wanted to punch everybody and
he was Scottish.
It was a Scot, wasn't he? Do you mean like metaphorically?
Yeah, he was small, you know, always up for a fight, drank too much, do you know what I mean? He was related to Scottish people.
Right, yeah, I think that's a very astute political point. You've actually brought a kind of geopolitical element to the Scooby-Doo franchise, which I really hadn't seen coming. It was a mistake because he used to say every 3 seconds, he'd go, "Puppy power!" And then he would go, you're not familiar with this.
Are you familiar with this story?
Yes, I remember watching it, but I thought it was dead. Was it not? It was cut. Is it back now? You've children. Is it not back now?
So what happened is that then there was a gap. After Scrappy He just nuked the franchise. It was just terrible, and no one watched it. So then there was a gap of like 10 years. And then now my kids are watching the new Scooby-Doo.
It's back again.
Yeah. And the Scrappy's in it, but all it is that his bones are just in a special museum, and then every so often they go to the museum and he's sort
worship
of like
them.
They worship the bones of Scrappy-Doo. But he's gone, and the actor who played Scrappy-Doo is not in good shape.
Really?
Yeah, he.
This doesn't sound like a fun cartoon.
CBBC's gotten weathered, hasn't it?
Well, of course, it's a tough gig. Imagine having been the voice of Scrappy-Doo, and now he's just in Los Angeles, just on the streets, just drinking out of a bottle.
This is
paper bag.
It's like Behind the Music on VH1, you know?
He's very bitter about how he was treated by Scooby, because he said Scooby seems like a very nice guy to your face.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, you know, Scooby's a power broker. Scooby is all about control and about money.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and this is a little bit grown up for this time of the day, but Pussy as well, apparently. He is just,
plowing through.
Well, no, I don't like to use that expression. That is a sort of
a gardening term.
The quote from one of the many biographies I've read about Scooby-Doo is that Pussy is his muse, is the quote from the book.
Terrible.
From everyone in the industry, is just what drives him.
That's the one thing. Well, it was his downfall as well, you see.
It's a great moment. That was my favourite bit of the show. that awkward pause.
I just started feeling sorry for him because he's got an actual problem.
So we've covered that. We're going to hit some stories in a second. We've got so many things to talk about. We've got to talk about Brexit. We've got to talk about whether... is immigration good or bad? We wouldn't have Rory. We probably wouldn't have someone called Tamar Broadbent if it wasn't for immigration somewhere back in the day.
Possibly not.
And I'm a plastic paddy myself, and I'm married to a German. So let's have a look at the immigration thing. We're going to be looking at the 22 telltale signs that your relationship is over. You should see your GP in the morning because apparently they're too knackered to make good decisions in the afternoon. Is Top Gear, the new Top Gear, any good? And much, much more. We've got our legend of the day, which I can't wait to share with you. Before we get into all of that, the other thing that was just mentioned in our pre-show meeting was about the fact that nobody writes the word great with the number 8 within social media anymore. When smartphones came out, it was like, how are you? It would be the letter R, the letter U, great, GR8. There were probably many more. But Tamar, you are, I would say, the youth correspondent of the show. Rory
I like
and
that
I,
title.
We're kind of past it, man. We're done.
We were around when there was no internet.
It's true. Can you imagine such a thing?
Can you imagine that, Tamar?
I do remember having the dial-up thing. I was like, that was like
really?
When I was like 10.
Can I just tell you that when Rory, and I happen to know this because in an evening of drunken candor, even though he doesn't drink, he shared this with me, which is when he was a teenager, there was so little pornography in Ireland. He had to pleasure himself to you know those medical journals, like these encyclopedias, right?
Argos.
All right. Of African women breastfeeding was all he had.
Wow. That's
don't
not
knock
that
it
weird,
till you
actually.
Try it.
That's painting a dreadful picture of me.
It's not that bizarre.
At least it means, you know what it means? You're not racist.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll let you put that out into the open.
Yes, Tamar.
Each to their own, I think. I don't know, but it's very strange. Some people have interesting inclinations nowadays. There's something called anime porn that I've recently discovered is a thing.
Animal.
Have you heard about this? Anime. So, like cartoons.
Scooby-Doo.
That's around here, man.
Scooby-Doo, the early years.
Do you know what? Mm. You could find it if you want that. Somebody has had that
inclination. There is cartoon porn. It's like the... do you know, you go into a bookies, you can bet on cartoon horse racing. You know, it's computered horse racing.
Wow.
Not in a sexual way.
No. You don't masturbate to it. You actually pay. You pay for the...
Oh, you bet.
Yeah,
but surely that's
predetermined,
isn't it? So that's
exactly. But if you're in a bookies, your life's over anyway. Do you know what I mean?
It's a really good point.
Yeah, you'll bet on anything.
Things haven't really worked out.
I think if you're watching cartoon porn... Anim porn, is that what it's called?
I think so, I don't know.
I was going to say, you need to sort yourself out.
I think you're right.
Exactly,
it says there's a little bit of a, feels like a hashtag there of moments when you know your life hasn't worked out. One is if you're stood in a bookies, or if you're doing your weekly shop at an Iceland. If you don't have the self-esteem or economic power with which to eat room temperature food.
If Kerry Katona hasn't put you off Iceland, you need help.
And I'm all for the budget brands. I'm Lidl and Aldi, my new favourite thing. But to go to a supermarket,
your wife's German, man.
She loves it.
They think it's like a field trip.
This is all like this is her childhood. All these weird reconstituted sausages. Anyhow, so you've got the anime porn. Have you seen it?
I haven't, but I've heard someone who I didn't expect would be into it just happened to be into it. And I think, you know what? The world is opening up. We're more okay about weird things now.
But the thing is, it's what's good about anime porn is it's ethically sound.
No one's getting hurt in the making of it.
Thank you.
Well, the people writing it are getting hurt.
Yeah.
They're crying.
Wouldn't it be nice, though, if it became a thing and then in the end Pixar, with all of their resources and talent, were to do an anime porn film? Because you would cry and masturbate at the same time, wouldn't you? And laugh.
I think the children would
be
really
today
confused.
Is all about learning with you, Mark, isn't it? We're so
on
much
such a learning curve. So people don't say great anymore, GRH.
No one does it.
Why not?
No one does it.
Why not? Because it's still a good idea.
There is just time, and I think it gives off an impression about you. Like if I get a message from someone that's like spelt wrong. Like I had a message from someone who said they'd, I don't know if I told you this last time, he said they'd been to the Sydney Opera House, but they spelt it like the Sydney Opera House. And I was like, instantly I was like, I just know that I can't have children with this man, ever. So there's no point in carrying on the conversation. Similarly, if I got a, hey, I'm great today, I'd be like, no. It just says a lot, I think, about that. You know,
I'm just trying to
know
who we're
going to
fix
EAT.
You up with. Who we're going to fix you up with.
I'm fine with the
sort of spelling thing that you've got. I think your only potential date is Susie Dent from Dictionary Corner.
I mean, I'd love that if you know her.
You're going to have to.
I'm open to.
But you're, or Stephen Fry, but then he's a gay man. That's not going to work. You're looking for a good speller. That's an unusual one on Tinder, isn't it? Seeks good grammar.
Some people are into Anna porn. Spelling tests is what gets Tamar going.
I need a questionnaire that includes these things.
So that's a sort of changing. So people write full words now.
Yeah, people do it. Yeah.
I think younger people have, it's like, if my niece is like 16 and if she sends you a message on Facebook or something like that, you've no idea what it is. You need to, like, it's like lol, LMFAO, there's smiley face.
Lol is an interesting one, though.
It's just like, whatever. It's just mayhem.
Lol is okay because lol has come to mean something in itself. Like, I'll use lol in like normal conversation in
That's
a slightly
dreadful.
Ironic way. No, I think it's like sometimes it's just a perfect thing to say, but I would still never say. Great.
Can you imagine as comedians if the public
everyone
started
just went, lol?
I love it, lol. I think it's great.
No, it is a generation thing. I know. It took me a while to adjust to awesome and epic. You know what I mean? I was going, what are people talking about?
I mean, what are you
going
to do if you're not quite, it's not funny enough that you would actually laugh, but you don't want the other person to feel like you don't find it funny?
Do you, if you're watching a film, okay, and something really funny comes on, do you go to yourself, lol?
Sometimes. But when I'm by myself in my warehouse, I'll be lol. I would share that. Absolutely. I see no problem.
All right. Well, on that bombshell.
Maybe I'm a hypocrite.
Here's what we're listening to. This is a pre-recorded voiceover, which has the title of the show, straight after which we're gonna look at a few things, including our Legend of the Week.
It's the news on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, well, let's take a look at this. You're listening to FUBAR Radio. We do have a Legend of the Week, or at least certainly a candidate thereof. Disney call centre worker smashed up an office and attacked police during a £15,000 wrecking spree after downing whiskey and lager on his lunch break and telling officers, I'm having a bad day. He also screamed, fuck Disney, as he caused in excess of £10,000 worth of damage. What is not to like about this story?
That guy is a legend. I mean, if all he said was fuck Disney, he's my vote.
It's genius. He threw his headset down. He was in a call centre. He exploded. He shouted what I've just said, then entered some sort of rage whereby he has walked through the premises smashing up equipment. He has taken computer monitors and thrown them, causing damage, and taken whiteboards and thrown those.
Wow. He was really having a bad day, though.
He really was. But it's lovely just to someone, in a way, fight the system. Because let's be honest, there are just millions of people trapped in jobs they don't enjoy.
But do you know what? It could be a stressful job that he's in working for Disney, watching all these cartoons. So maybe they should have Anna porn that can sort of chill the people
that
out.
That would be such
he
a good idea.
He can relieve the stress.
What's he doing in this call centre?
So he could be watching a movie where some really wrong stuff is happening to Pluto.
Man. And then he's back to work.
That's why he's so angry. Or is it just that he's got loads of little girls calling up? Like complaining about not being Elsa or something.
Yeah.
Or he's just heard Let It Go so many times now that it's just driven him to that point.
I mean, Frozen as a franchise, it's borderline toxic, isn't it? I mean, you know, as a parent, as a tired parent, you wind up watching it almost every day in the summer holidays and stuff. But to live and breathe that as your daily work would be a struggle.
I can imagine it would be hard.
But it's refreshing. I just think we love to see somebody that can just, you know what, the working conditions, the call centre. I mean, I don't know where you guys stand on this, but when I get a call from some horrible company flogging something, I can't be rude to them. Because I know people that will just hang up or say, go away, or shout. And I'm like, can you imagine how much abuse they already get?
I always go, can you ring me back tomorrow?
Do you?
It's like trying to break up with someone, but you can't do it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm
definitely going to break up with them now. And then you meet them and go, yeah, let's do lunch.
I go, because as you probably know, you both know me personally, I'm quite a chatty person. I'm quite conversational.
Aggressive sometimes.
I do have that side, as it's well known.
You've actually got best friends now in call centres, haven't
you? I'm quite known for my despotic rage. And what happened is that I sit down, I make a brew and I sit down, and then I have it like after an hour. They're like, it's really, really good to talk to you, but
we have to go.
I've got other calls to make. I'm like, really? I'm cash in the attic's not on for another half an hour.
But do you ever buy anything off these people, or do you just feel the guilt of
that? That is the fatal golden rule, which is you don't ever do that. Believe it, if it works, you're then feeding the system and then it'll happen.
But you know
forever.
What was weird? I once took a phone call from, and I never really take the calls, but from O2.
Yeah.
And they informed me that I was just chatting away to them, and I ended up getting more 3G than I thought I was entitled to.
If you'd be really nice to them.
So if you do listen, it can be beneficial.
Hear them out.
But sometimes you just go, oh no, I'm watching Anna porn here. I can't talk.
Yeah, of course. I'm watching an animal.
Shaggy Doo here.
and Scrappy Doo.
Yeah, that's it.
Strange turn of events.
I've just suddenly, for some reason, had this thought of the Smurfs and Anna porn.
And that has been done. I reckon it's been done.
That's everywhere. The Blue Movie.
And on that note, you see, that's what we're paying for.
That's why I'm here, man.
Because the thing is, Rory is not cheap. It's 250 quid plus VAT. But Hammer, you get what you pay for, is all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
It's FUBAR Radio. More bombshells like that coming up. We'll talk about the signs your relationship is over. And we do need to talk about Brexit, but we're going to do it in a fun way because I know everyone's sick to the back teeth of it. What we'll do now is we'll have a track from Wendy Carlos, March from A Clockwork Orange. This is FUBAR. Don't go anywhere. I'm not sure why we're playing this, and it feels like a clerical error. And I just want you guys to know that three people have been fired as a result. Here's some George Harrison. And no severance pay. None of this, oh, well, we'll take care of the rest of your month or any of that. No, poverty ensues for the person that chose March from A Clockwork Orange, brackets Beethoven. Beethoven, FUBAR, yeah, not sure about that.
It's always gonna be this way. To be speaking to Joshua Kane on the phone. I always talk to my friends, a lot of friends in fashion. And the AW, all of the acronyms.
Autumn, winter, yeah.
Autumn, winter, spring, summer. I never understood that until about 6 months ago.
Well, probably what you understood 6 months ago has probably changed since then.
Yeah.
You see it on the runway and then you're available to buy it soon after.
That's because that's what confused me. It would be like autumn, winter in like August, and I was like, what's happening? I don't understand.
Every Thursday,
Harriet Rose
from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Harriet Rose, absolute genius of a broadcaster. That show's unmissable, as are so many on the FUBAR platform. You can listen live in-app and online, and you can also podcast the thing as well. It's the app is unbelievable. It's dedicated to all of our content, and you can go right back into the annals of our broadcasting history. It's all there, and well worth listening to, and costs you absolutely nought, which is not a bad thing. And we were listening to George Harrison, Tamar Broadbent. Are you familiar with his work?
Here comes the sun.
Do-do-do.
The reason I know that is because it's in the Parent Trap film.
Right.
But
now
I am familiar with the Beatles.
So George Harrison wrote Here Comes the Sun and also Something. Right? Something in the way she moves.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, and yeah. Here's the thing, right? So two of those songs are among the best Beatles songs ever written.
Mm.
So he's responsible for... I mean, a lot of people would say Here Comes the Sun. It's potentially the best Beatles song. I mean, it's an unbelievably good song. But he was just in the wrong band, wasn't he? Because he was very talented. He was in a band with John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And you're like, if he'd been in his own band called, George Harrison and the Crickets... George Harrison's
what's his name?
Sexy band name.
Yeah, exactly. Then he'd be like a legend, wouldn't he? George Harrison. But he was in the bloody Beatles. That's very annoying.
Yeah, and John Lennon was I think he was the guy that sort of steered the boat, didn't he? He's a pretty domineering character.
Well,
as
that's
well,
exactly
so.
Right. He was quite sort of held back by the competitiveness of McCartney and Lennon.
Like, yeah.
And they you know,
particularly John Lennon. Like, if you look at all the interviews and stuff for him, like he was a bit of an egomaniac. Like, do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think I suppose the other guys would have went, listen, lads, we're cleaning up here anyway. Just let them do it. Like,
that's it. That was a tricky thing. But he came into the for one of the I think it was the Abbey Road. album, and he came in and he had something. By the way, he also wrote "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," which is another classic. And he offered them something. He's like, "Oh, can I?" Can it was almost like every song was an audition. Can I play this one? And they heard something, and John Lennon said, "Actually, you know what? You're getting there with your songwriting." Right, so that was like the nature of their relationship. Gosh. Like, this one isn't too bad now. It's not ideal, is it?
I was like, yo, listen, I tell you, man, if you keep going the way you're going, things could work out for you.
Yeah.
You're just going, you come on.
So.
And they're all the same band, like, do you know what I mean? There was no, there shouldn't have been, like, what's it called? A hierarchy, because they were all the band, like.
The trick is to do what Elton did, which is just to not have a band. It's just Elton, and then there's no politics because he can't break up with himself.
No.
You say that, but then, like, I mean, obviously there's a huge tragedy in, you know, with musicians dying young, but then if they don't, then you get to Paul McCartney's age and you're still releasing singles and albums. And I sort of remember saw one of his music videos where he was, like, dancing and being really serious about, like, kind of taking it to the new level. And I was like, Paul, it's just time to just leave now. It's time to leave the
walk
music
walk away
business
from the stage.
Just leave it to the. Just get away from it, really. Now
he's still a good singer and all, but I think it's a bit sort of when they're wheeling him out. Like, do you know what I mean? And his hair has miraculously stayed the same colour, and he's in his 70s. Do you know what I mean?
People can do it. Like some people, like
Rod Stewart.
Meatloaf.
Rod Stewart. Like, yeah, still rocking.
Yeah. Iggy's got it done. What about Mick?
Oh,
Jagger.
He can do it.
Has he still got it?
But I saw him recently in a Jennifer Lopez video, and I just went, this should never have been made public. Like,
right.
It's horrific. I don't know what the name is. Well, Jennifer Lopez songs are pretty crap anyway. It was just repeating the same verse with her dancing in it. And he gets involved, and it's just like, Mick, you don't need the money, man.
My internet guilty pleasures the last couple of weeks have been the carpool karaoke with James Corden, which has been a viral success.
I want to see the one where he crashes. That's what I want to see.
Is there one?
No.
That would be lovely. Yeah, and the airbag comes out.
Oh, God. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with it. Like, you know what I mean?
You're not too sure.
It's very American for me. Like, everyone. I just want some miserable thing to happen, you know what I mean?
What carpool karaoke, so just singing in cars.
Yeah, and he's singing as well, and he's like giving it loads, man. You're just going, come on, James.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it is good fun, but it's just that horrible talk show thing when you're a chat show host, which is that everything that's on the show is amazing.
It has to be.
And therefore, there's no shades of grey and there's no critical sort of.
Well, the chat show's gone, isn't it? It has to be because it has to go viral. And
it's a really good point.
Yeah, so everything has to be because there's a generation of people that will only watch 2 minutes of stuff on YouTube. They won't watch a 30-minute interview because they'll be going, what this is really
well, I
boring.
Had an interesting chat with a very well-known TV producer who is he's the man behind Graham Norton. Uh-huh. I'll rephrase that, but I don't want that to be misconstrued. But it's a thing where he said that all the broadcasters now, because he's like always pitching chat shows because he's brilliant at that, and he said the broadcasters are like, no, just give us carpool karaoke and just give us segments.
But you know what it is? That's gone. That stuff has been created.
I know,
it's done. It's you're not going to be able to match it. You're just going to look inferior. Like Rylan. You've seen Rylan.
Up late with Rylan.
But I think that. And now they're all just going, well, just give me what they have. Give me what they, and we'll create. Like, you've got to be imaginative.
What else? He said something interesting, which is he said that the problem is, he said that you've got to have the chat show.
Yeah.
And you've got to have the monologue and the sofa and the guests to be able to then have the carpool karaoke. Because what it is it's an element within an established show.
Yeah.
So if you want these gems, you need to commission the show and then there'll be bits in it. And his argument was, you're too young to remember this, but the 11 o'clock show was a pretty awful topical comedy show. Yeah. But it featured Ricky Gervais doing little monologues, and it featured
Ali G. Well, didn't it? Yeah.
And and so everyone watched the 11 o'clock show for Ali G. But so, you know, it's the kind of crazy. But
that can happen. Like, it can unearth a gem, and people go, wow, that's amazing.
Well, so do you guys think, you know, when in terms of what you do, and you're like aiming to do content and stuff, are you thinking more now online rather than pitching stuff to the BBC and Channel 4 and all those guys? Mm. Are you thinking more just go straight online?
I think that's 100% the way to go nowadays. Like, everything is changing. And also, I discovered recently, you know, all of these vloggers that we just, like, as an adults, we don't really know about them, but they sold out, like, Dan and...
Crazy,
does it? Like, these guys called Dan and Phil, I didn't know about them, but I teach these, like, 13-year-old girls, and they are crazy about them, and they sold out an international tour with no marketing budget.
Yeah. Just because totally, like, yeah.
It's, and like,
what do they do?
Like,
what do they do?
They literally just, okay, they'll like play The Sims and talk about playing The Sims. It's actually really funny. It's actually really enjoyable
Look
to watch.
Your man, KSI.
What's that? Who's that?
KSI, the
another one?
A YouTube internet sensation. He just started off playing computer games in his bedroom. Right. Do you know what I mean? Now he's got something like 12 million followers on YouTube. You know what I mean? It's just...
But you almost feel like, you feel like is you want to be, you want to get in there early before it's saturated. You want to be...
Yeah, but I think it's just where it is at the moment. Everyone is just... Because the TV is dying, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 that's
and everyone is just wants instant stuff. You can watch what you want when you want, you know what I mean?
It's what's super frustrating, though, is there is just no logic to what hits. Like that song about what does... Do you remember the What Does the Fox... What Noise Does the Fox Make song? Which is just like this duo just singing about all the sounds that animals make and then making a really weird noise about the fox.
The worst thing you can do is sit down and try to come up with a viral a viral sensation.
Oh my gosh,
I presume when they were making it, was it a Two Girls in a Cup? They didn't know that was going to escalate to where it went. But that's the thing. Once you try and decide, once you try and sort of do something that you think people will like is when it's
Two Girls and a Cup.
Have you not seen that?
I've actually seen an adult film of the same name.
Have you seen and Two think, Girls and a Cup?
No.
Guys, it's I have to. It's Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, sorry. You know.
Tamara's and like, what do they do?
They're eating.
What do they do to the cup?
We don't need to talk about the guy, it. On at 12 feet.
Really?
They're eating a log, aren't they? That's what they do.
I haven't seen it.
That's what they do.
Is a log a euphemism? What's going on here?
It's a floater.
I haven't watched it.
You'll have to explain this to me.
The Two Girls and One Cup. I have never watched it, but I've watched the reaction of people watching it. That's as near as I've got to it. Like,
or that video about cats being scared of cucumbers. That's also a really popular
back to
one.
Anime porn.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
And on that bombshell, let's talk about relationships and when they're over. Where are you guys at? I'm married to a miraculously beautiful woman.
How did that
so
happen?
So I'm out of the... grooming. I spent 12 years sending sweets and just being very. In the end, she was desperate, which is that's what you have to do. You have to wait.
Yeah.
25, they don't need you. 35, biological clock's ticking, and there I am, standing in the garden in a waterproof coat, just waiting and ready.
That literally and gives she's me
just,
tingles.
She's just like, just come in now. Just come in. This is over.
Oh, stop it. It's like that a rom-com. I can't bear it.
It's a bit creepy, isn't it?
No, it's so romantic.
Oh, bless you. No, I'm very, 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 very... I don't know, really. I lucked out. Of course I did. But there's a top sex author called Tracy Cox, who we've had on the show. And she's been talking about the 22 telltale signs that your relationship is over. One is that you start contacting your exes, which I would imagine is that's definitely the road to ruin romantically, isn't it?
Game over.
Isn't it? And what I think is now tricky, back in the old days, it was really deliberate. You'd have to call them and say, how are you? Now you've got Facebook.
You've got everything. It's impossible to break up with someone.
You can't,
as you just said there, 10, 15 years ago, if you broke up with someone, you'd never see them again.
Yeah.
You might meet them and you'd never see them again. Now you've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything. So it's
Well, yeah, because the thing is, you might end the relationship and it might be okay, but you're not going to then unfriend them because that's like the nuclear button, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it depends how it ends as well, though, doesn't it? Like if it's on
but
good
if
terms.
It ended quite well and then he unfriended you. You wouldn't be very happy, would you?
No, but I think you got to move on, do you not?
I think it's healthy to not have that person on Facebook in some cases. If you are still friends, then it's fine. But yeah, it is. You can't get away from them.
The other thing is that it's the temptation to just see what they're up to at the moment.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And what that normally involves is 2 a.m... after a few drinks.
Yeah.
And you're going on the photos, just looking at the photos. And trying not to accidentally, drunkenly like any of them.
Oh my God, that's the worst. Do you know what? That is one of my biggest fears, is accidentally liking people's photos. But not even like people that I know. You know when you Facebook stalk and you get to people that you're like, I don't even remember how I got to this person.
Oh, it's a rabbit hole, man.
And then the accidental Instagram, like, I've done that to a friend once and she didn't speak to me for like 4 days.
What did you do? You liked her picture?
I hearted a picture of a guy. by accident, but like really far back in the photos. It was like number 54 or something. Yeah,
you'd clearly been on there for like an hour.
we had. That's the worst faux pas.
My God.
I don't know, she's got a lot of things here. She said you feel physically unsafe. Well, that's if you're married to Johnny Depp, allegedly.
Yeah.
You think about your exes. What you're putting out feelers if you've still got it? Are you
that
so yourself?
Sounds very dodgy. Like, what are you, a jazz singer or like a Tom Jones or something like?
One of these is a bit weird from Tracy, which is you're getting sick all the time. I do think if your relationship provokes regular vomiting, I think you need you got to get out.
Yeah, if someone's making you physically ill, it's not going well. Like,
so many of these though are just like the moron's guide to dump your boyfriend. Mm, like, right. You feel physically unsafe.
This
is
one's
number
bit,
one. You're terrified of this man.
This one's a bit of a grey one. I'm not too sure what it means. Your partner's physically violent, or you suspect they might be. Like, if they're physically violent, I would think it might be time to go.
It could just be he or she is sending you a message.
They put you down verbally on a constant basis.
This is like abusive relationship.
No, actually, no, that sounds like marriage.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? This is an interesting one, this put you down verbally, because you've heard about negging.
Yes,
tell me more.
It's like new techniques.
What is negging? Tell me more. Help me out.
So negging is it's this new thing. It was like originated, it became popular around the time of The Game. You know, the book about how to get women. It's this thing of you subtly put someone down and undermine their confidence, and then it makes them want you.
Yeah, it's like you go to someone. I love your jacket. It would look really good on someone maybe with black hair.
Yeah, that's a perfect. Right. You're so good. Have you read this book?
No, but that's what it is, though. But you have to be.
I love your jacket. If you lost some weight, I think it would really suit you.
Yeah.
But you have to be a complete sociopath to be using that kind of, I think, that game stuff, because
you come to recognise it.
Well, that is what that negging thing, that is basically what horrible boyfriends do, isn't it? That's just the horrible boyfriend toolkit.
And, or like, as lots of chat up lines, I think nowadays, people are trying to, you can tell the people who've read it, I think,
it's obvious, because you kind of go, oh my God, what's this person doing? Like,
I mean, this was a terrible low point for me. When I was at university and I was dating someone who was fantastic and wonderful and lovely, but I think I wasn't the one for her, because I think she was being horrible in ways that she wasn't even intending to.
Oh, yeah.
So she said a couple of things like, she's like, maybe you should go to the gym.
Maybe.
And work out a bit.
Yeah.
Like, which is like, she actually said that like as an idea. Like, no, I'm just hashtag just saying. This was before hashtags. Yeah. This was 1994.
This was GRA, was it?
It was a bit great. And then the other one is, she said smoking was, she said you look really cool smoking. So we're like, okay, so you want me to have cancer and die?
Did you smoke at the time?
She recommended. I mean, this is what happened. This was like so long ago when smoking was still cool. She's like, you should try.
She was a bit of a conundrum. She wanted to go to the gym and smoke.
Sending mixed messages.
She's negative.
But I just thought, my thing was, I think you know when you need to get out, when they want you to be something you're not.
Yeah.
Because that is, there is no relationship that has ever been built on them looking for you to be something different.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I think that is the head, and that's what I mean. There's an element. Do you know what? It's very complicated, because I think when you date, there is a lovely thing. I did a show about it called The Sex Guru, right? Created by Wolfgang Weinberger, who's an Austrian sexologist. And there's a lot of research into obviously relationships and sex and all that stuff. And one of the really interesting fun facts about it is that they've identified in females something they call the change and fix gene. And it's what females do to men. And it's like this. The most desirable men, you've got like the ultimate sort of heartthrob guys who are like good looking, have money, and who are nice. And they're like, there's not many of them. I think probably you'll concur, Tamar, that they're in the minority. And then there's the losers at the bottom, the bozos. 10% of people.
Bozos.
Yeah. 10% of people who can't be paired with anyone. In fact, there's no one for them, which is interesting. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got this middle ground. You've got like the average Joe. And what's interesting is that the vast majority of relationships, the guys who get into relationships and get laid all the time are the average Joes. They're the guys in the middle.
Mm.
And what happens is that the females can't get hold of the heartthrob. And also some females are a bit suspicious of the heartthrob. He's like, is he going to stick around? So what the females do, according to this research, is that they select the average Joe. And what they do is they train him. They get him up
to be a bozo.
Yeah, the ego is the other way. Yeah. I'm afraid
he's never going to cheat on me.
But it's amazing if you think about it. If you've been in, I know it's a little bit like last century, some of these observations, but there is an element to which there's a bit of influence on the wardrobe.
Buying shirts.
You know,
then it's like going out with your mother.
Welcome to marriage.
Oh.
But it's true, isn't it? It's to change of it. But what women do is they get the guys up, and what the guys go along with it, A, because they don't care, because they never really thought about these things before, but also because they think, well, she's probably doing it. It's probably in my best interest.
Yeah. But if you ever go into like a Topshop or one of these places, right, you'll always see the guy with his girlfriend buying his clothes, and you just go, where's this going to end? Like, does she wipe your bum? You know what I mean?
I know. Has it not happened to you, though? No. Have you not felt... Because my missus has straightened me out to a certain extent.
Yeah, but in a positive way, maybe. She maybe said to you, listen, Mark, you need to stop drinking around the kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she has. Well, I think a person
can be positive on you, maybe give you a bit more ambition and stuff, like, or maybe get you a bit more focused. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, getting into, like, you know, as you said, smoking and going to the gym, that's, you know, that's
definitely
a bit,
in the wrong direction.
That's definitely a bit
What about dodge. The guys? Do you buy this idea that women do sort of have the change and fix gene, or do you think it works both ways? Have you been changed and fixed by guys?
I never did any exercise before my ex-boyfriend.
What did he make you do exercise?
Well, do you know what? This one time, he like forced me to sign up to do a half marathon, which I didn't want to do. And I did like a little bit of training, and I made it to like three miles.
All right.
And then I left the country, so so he had to just do it by himself in the end. I mean, that's a longer story, but in that way, like some positive things come. But I don't think anybody realistically is in a relationship and thinks it's going to be a sensible thing to totally change.
Yeah, transform.
I think there's
anyway?
There's a bit of flexibility where I think it's like a merger of two companies. If you come together, you do have to adapt and change. Both of you have to adapt and change a bit, and then it just kind of like that way you can connect. But you can't just ever stay your own way and with your own habits and your old habits, and you know. So I think as long as it's like land for peace, it's a two way thing. And I guess if that balance is not, you know, right, then you wind up in the relationship thing. So how do you end a relationship? What's the best way to do it?
Emigration.
Text.
Yeah, leaving the country is good, isn't
leaving
it?
The country's
Brexit.
Great.
Brexit might solve a lot of dilemmas for people.
One of you moved to New Zealand.
Well, the thing I think it's a great plan. I'm sort of like, the Brexit thing is a mix, sort of bittersweet for me, because if it happens, my wife, who is German, will obviously have to go back. And, you know, I've packed a bag just in case, because, you know, I want to be organized. But, you know, I've said, well, we've got, you know, there's FaceTime. It's really not going to be a problem.
I think it causes a lot of immediate problems for me, because my brother's got a Spanish girlfriend. Like, he would be super angry about all the hot Spanish girls having to go home.
Yeah, but I think if it does introduce, they're not going to be. There's not going to be a witch hunt, is there? That they're going to knock on your door and go, "Listen, is
I don't think so.
Fraulein here, she must go home to Germany." Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Do you remember the Ali G sketch where they only let people in if they're hot?
Yeah,
that's genius.
Maybe we should just do that. I'll be on the panel for that.
That was genius. That was genius. So we've got on to Brexit. There was a sort of, from my point of view, quite a concerning development, which is a 7-point lead for Brexit, which I think everyone feels like we're going to remain, and it's logical. They had 600 experts across all industries, and hedge fund guys and women, and also
women. They asked women.
They are, well, that, which was obviously a mistake.
Can't believe that.
And they had academics, they had trade unions, and the whole cross section of the economic community of this country, and they, like, 91% of them said we should stay, it'll be a problem. But what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I think people are looking at it like it's a very black and white decision, that if they leave, this is going to happen. And if they, you know what I mean? Like, if we leave, oh, such a relief. We'll just close the door and the population's going to go down and it's just going to be amazing. I think it's all about immigration. That's where the problem lies. And people are getting sort of prejudiced towards people. Too many people coming into the UK, and they feel as if they leave Europe, it's finally like batten down the hatches, Brits only.
I think it's that thing where you've got the logical, rational argument, which probably is for Remain, because it's access to this huge market, all that stuff. And then you've got the emotional argument, which is immigration, right? That's what it's head versus heart somehow in terms of the British public. Do you reckon?
Mm.
Where do you stand on it?
Well, I just don't think we know what.
Because I know you don't like
way.
Tamar doesn't like foreigners. This well. Is just. It's important to get it out there. That
I just
Tamar fosters
just
a set of intolerant views.
No, oh my gosh, I just think
you're
there's
lovely,
no way.
But you're quite. She's a woman of hate, but.
Only, yeah. No, well, no.
Anyone
I think
that's even slightly
worry.
Different. I remember when you had a suntan once, Rory.
Stop it,
she didn't speak to you for a week.
No, her unijack tattoos are very obvious
I know,
as well.
Because you're from overseas. But I think, like, the biggest worry would be that people just think it's going to be fine and so don't vote.
Yeah.
Because that's what I kind of am like, well, I mean, of course we're not going to vote to leave because it's such a huge, drastic change. Why?
Yeah.
What, that's terrifying. Like, what could possibly... Just leave it as it is.
I'm with you.
But I think... The worry is that people won't vote because they'll think it's going to be fine. So basically everyone should.
But I think the whole vibe about the UK, I'm guessing there, Rory, one of the things that you like about the UK is like it's an open society. Our country is all the richer for your arrival.
Yeah, but if that does happen, is it going to affect Irish people coming into the UK? Basically what
it
they're
can't.
Saying is we can pick and choose who we want to let in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're not going to turn around to like... Irish, French, Spanish people and go, you can't come into the UK anymore. I think that what they're trying to say is we can pick and choose who we want to let in. We don't want to let people in from sort of like eastern parts of Europe maybe, or people coming from war and torn countries that they don't want to allow into the UK. Like, they don't want to let people from Syria into the UK.
Right. So, yeah. Oh my God. It's a complete, it's an imponderable. We don't know what way it's going to go, but we'll keep an eye on it. Before I let you go, we've got 1 minute left. Brilliant story about how you should see your GP in the morning because by the afternoon, they've got decision fatigue.
Yeah.
Because I get that. I can't go shopping in the afternoon, like clothes shopping, because I've spent so much time making decisions in the morning about whether to have a tea or a coffee, whether to have a croissant or a pain au chocolat, that by the afternoon, I'm like, do these chinos even suit me?
Is that why you ended up buying white jeans?
this whole outfit.
What happened. This is just yesterday.
So are you a morning person or an afternoon person? Broadbent.
Does anything get done in the afternoon?
Never. Never know.
If we look into history closely, I think probably most things happen in that. We should have siestas, though. I've always. This is why we should stay in Europe and siesta, like the Spanish. Let's do that.
I'm
sleep
there.
Through,
you got me on
that.
Time. How about you, Rory? When are you operating at your highest level?
I'd say between 11 and 3 would be the time that I'm rocking it. And mid afternoon, I'm just sitting down.
Watching
a bit of animal porn. Just
anime, not animal.
No, I'm animal, man. I'm animal.
He's, Jesus. He's at his most honest at lunchtime, that boy. I got to say, I think you both, guys, your A game is between 12 and 1 because that's what's happened today. It's been awesome. It's been amazing. Tamar, what's your Twitter handle?
At Tamar Broadbent.
And how about you, the O'Hanlon?
It's at Oro Hanlon Comedy.
There you go. Nailed it. You're both legends. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. I have been Mark Dolan and continue to be.
Another diversion, and I don't got no meaning, no purpose left at all. My pastor tells me that my light is dimming, and I've been too long drifting in an ocean. It's okay, we just need faith. Been looking for answers in the wrong place. Every day I go down to the water. I pray since you led me that way. Oh Lord, I'm trying to keep my mind on the good news that's in my heart. Every day I go down to the water.
news. It's in my heart.